Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Are you struggling with getting things done? Have you wanted to create some new productive habits but struggle with keeping them going after maybe day two? Well, then, today's show, it's for you. But first, if you've heard me talk on any of the social channels and even this podcast, you've heard me mention about how being a part of a mastermind has really completely changed my business. Not only in holding me accountable and stretching me as a person, but it's also opened some incredible doors and opportunities that I'd never have had before. Well, I'm very excited to announce that I'm partnering with Anthony Witt's Champions Mastermind to start a group of my own. And we're limiting it just to 10 people with a growth mindset. Not everyone will be accepted, and there's an application process because we really do want this to help people take their business to the next level. And we need those people with that growth mindset. So if you're interested, head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind to apply. Like I said, there's only a few spots left, and they're filling up fast. That's manlypinteresttips.com/mastermind. I'm so happy today to have my good friend Eric Fisher back on the show. If you don't know who Eric is, he is the social media manager for Social Media Examiner and host of the award-winning podcast Beyond the To-Do List. Eric is an authority on social media, productivity, and podcasting who began blogging back in 2004, way before Facebook and Twitter were even a thing. Eric is also a member of the mastermind that I attend, and in fact, we just got back from the Tribes Conference where our entire mastermind got together. We first start and talk about what we learned at the conference, and we both had some eye-opening takeaways, but then we dive deep into chaining habits together and what it means to create a healthy margin in your life. I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode, so let's jump right into my conversation with Eric Fisher. First, I want to, thank you, Eric, for being here today. I appreciate, we spent a lot of time together. It's like, it's just another day.
I don't know if I want to talk to you anymore.
I know. It's kind of that. So, but we had a great time at the conference. We did that last weekend. And if you're not familiar with, it's called the Tribe Conference, and it's put on by Jeff Goins, who is a writer. And I've actually been following him for a long time, kind of in and out, and just seeing his growth has been incredible. But the Tribe Conference is a gathering of writers, artists, and creatives who want to grow their craft and get the attention their work deserves. And it was a great conference. Got to see a lot of people there, hang out with Eric, of course, and Aaron Walker, Big A, who's always cool to hang out with, and some other people. So it was a lot of fun. Learned a lot. It was nice to be able to sit back and not, Eric and I do a lot at Social Media Examiner, and we're usually scrambling when we're at that conference. And it was kind of nice to sit back and kind of absorb some things.
Yeah.
Especially because, even as a podcaster, Eric, and myself, we are creatives. We're creating content, and so it was nice to kind of get reminded of some things that we may be doing right, and then kind of encouraged to do some other things that we may want to put some more time and effort in. So, what did you take away? What was one of the biggest takeaways you got from the Tribes Conference?
Oh man, I think one of the biggest takeaways that I had was just consistency in terms of content creation. Mm-hmm. But maybe not using those words, right. Content creation sounds so like formal and, let me straighten my tie. I would say honing your craft is a better way to put it, that you consistently do that. And there were a couple different people that talked about that in specifics, and they kind of tied together for me. So,
yeah. Well, one of the things Jeff Goins does, and he always says this, he says, start calling yourself a writer. Mm-hmm. If you're writing, start calling yourself a writer. And, you know, content creator, like you said, sounds all kind of a thing. And so he's really pushing you to think of yourself like an artist and that what you're doing is art.
Yes.
In fact, I listened to him on your podcast, which is there's two episodes like really close together with Jeff Goins, where he talks about his new book, Real Artists Don't Starve. And I recommend everybody read that book if you're in any sort of way in this space or creative or creating anything or want to create something. It is an incredible book. But he says, you know, first of all, call yourself an artist and you don't have to starve. So I thought that was,
yeah, the premise of the book is we've believed a number of myths,
right?
And they all regard you doing your art and making a living off it. We always feel like we have to sell out or struggle,
right,
in order to do that thing we love. And that's not true.
Right. And he points out that actually that starving artists came it's kind of a recent thing. Like Michelangelo, one of the best artists ever, was actually, if you equate it to today's dollars, yeah, he was a multimillionaire and was very, very successful. And, you know, we even think of him in our minds as kind of like, hey, you know, he must have really struggled and it's too bad, you know, all that kind of thing. But it's, yeah, Jeff uses him in the book to talk about how, you know, how cool it is that he didn't starve.
Yeah, he was a millionaire. I mean, he really was. He died with tons of money in the bank.
Right. It's very, very cool. And so one of the things they talked about, and I never had thought about it, and I can't remember, I wrote it in my notes, and I think it was on the first day, but the lady was talking about ecosystems and how one of the things artists need to do is, you know, we need to, instead of just throwing out content, we need to be sharing value and having something, and she called it shared joy. You want to share your joy with other people and then find out where they're going to get those questions answered. And you and I are in the marketing space pretty heavily.
Yep.
We see all that stuff. And I was really reinforced to go, like, we always are talking to marketers about marketing and how to market, you know, and
yeah, well, we're talking to we're marketing to marketers.
Right. And that's not your audience, your podcast. So that's your creative thing. That's what you do to be creative. But you're not talking to marketers really. You're talking to about any business owner who needs help with productivity. And that's your audience. Wouldn't you say that's who you're really reaching out to?
Yeah, I would say anybody who is, well, honestly, I kind of split it in two or three groups. One is anybody who's in a cubicle.
Right.
Two, anybody who's working from home. And three, anybody who's kind of got a hybrid of both those things / has a family or has relationships they also care about.
Right. And a lot of people at the conference knew who you were because you have such a broad appeal to those people. If you're in business or you're trying to do better or you're trying to, you almost enrich yourself, productivity falls into that. And so I think your podcast reaches so many people because of that, because they're going there to get their questions answered. Like, I want to, you know, do X, and you have interviewed people or talked to people who speak to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this a little bit too. One of the ladies said, when you're talking to, you know, when you're trying to create an audience and when you're creating art, to be the weirdo in the room and embrace your quirks, which I thought was really interesting. What did you take away from that?
It was in the, one of the great things that, and help me out with this because I'm going to mess it up, but Jeff broke the sessions up into three stages.
Right.
And the first one I think had to do with finding your voice.
Right.
What were the other two? I know one was like building your platform or your tribe, or I don't, there's an order. There's three and there's an order.
Right. I have to look up my notes. I'm not
but
sure
this,
if I have
but,
it.
But ultimately it doesn't matter because she spoke and was falling into the first segment category, which was finding your voice. Wow. And when you're trying to do your art / create your content, it helps to be able to do that or know what type of stuff to do or what to talk about topically, or a blending of both those things, if you can lean in to who you really are. Right. And not just who you want to be and push that out there, push out the I'm Eric Fisher and I'm this productivity guru, but to be the hey, I just recently, for example, took Michael Hyatt's productivity assessment, and it confirmed for me some weaknesses as well as some strengths. And that was really cool. And so by doing that, I can lean into, yeah, you know what? It's hard for me to take a relaxing weekend. That's what the assessment showed me. Yeah. And you and I have talked about that offline before. But in other words, that's my quirk. That's one of my struggles. That's one of my weirdnesses, whatever you want to put it, you know, and any of the other things that make me uniquely me, even though a lot of other people have those similarities, like lean into the me as I make my art. In other words,
here's a question. I don't think I've ever asked you this. When you started, did people already say, oh, Eric's kind of the productivity guy? Or did you learn to, did you learn that, you know, I just kind of want to learn about productivity, so I want to make this podcast so I can interview people and kind of get educated on that. Was that something you've always been interested in, or did you want to learn just more about it and did the podcast?
Well, so it's kind of it comes from a couple of different angles. Number one, I was always interested in it. I don't know that people would have necessarily identified that with me up till that point. However, prior to Beyond the To-Do List, I was doing a show with Cliff Ravenscraft as a co-host called Social Media Serenity. And that really had to do with, that was almost productivity meets social media, you know, how to do social media without going crazy, hence the Serenity part of the title. Yes. And a lot of people always said that. Yeah. So it was a natural. It wasn't even a pivot. It was just further down the line. It wasn't a, hey, I'm doing social media and now I'm going to go do productivity. No, it was, we stopped doing that show. And then I was trying to figure out what I was going to podcast about by myself. And I realized I want to have fun talking to interesting people. I want to learn from them. What's a place that I can go topic wise to do that? Well, I want to know how they do the awesome work that they do, how they manage their time, their energy, all that kind of, and I want to know how, you know, it's like productivity but going beyond the to-do list. Oh, there's my title. Like there, that's literally how it happened.
Well, so, the funny thing is once you started interviewing those people to learn more, then you became one of the productivity experts,
right?
Which is the same way, like with Pinterest, we started doing the show because I wrote an article and, you know, I was getting traffic to Pinterest and these guys said, do the show. We did it with, and Mike Alton's actually here, who was one of the original Manly Pinterest Tips guys. And we started asking questions and we got, and so I did it to learn more about Pinterest and learn more about visual marketing and all that stuff. And then it naturally came that way. But Mike's got a great question, so I want to pull this up and we can talk about it a little bit. He goes, do you find it difficult to create for your target customer instead of peers, but still develop those peer relationships? What do you think, Eric? I don't know, because I think I know what my target, now my target customer probably has shifted since when I started. But developing those peer relationships, I think that happens through, to be honest, to like what we did at Tribe, is we went to conferences and we sat down and talked to people. I have developed quicker and faster going to those live events than I would have ever done, you know, just sitting there marketing. So like I had, when I went to my first social media marketing world, I had already, you know, I knew Peg, I knew Mike, I knew some of these other people. But once you get there and be able to sit down and face-to-face meeting, and like with you, we had met at Podcast San Diego right after the conference,
right,
and we just sat down in a smaller venue and started talking, and then that led to another thing, and then we were in a mastermind together, and so, and then that continues. Once you have that like face to face, it kind of drifts over to, you know, you can continue that offline. I mean online, not face to face anymore. So, I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it's difficult to find your target customer. And that can evolve, I believe.
I create content. I do my art for my target customer. My peers, however, I don't make it for them, although I appreciate their opinion. As far as I understand the question, that's kind of the way I go with it.
Yeah.
I want to continue to try to be better at getting feedback from my audience so that I create episodes that are tailored for them. And I mean, there's one person reached out recently and said, hey, this is a topic I'd love for you to tackle. And I did.
Yeah.
And so, cool. But as far as peers, that's a whole other thing.
And I think that's the biggest mistake we make is when we start creating a podcast or art or visual or stuff, is that we create for sometimes our peers and not for our audience. Because to me, and I've struggled with, because the more I go down this road, it seems simple. And like I'm going back and having to simplify stuff. But that's where people who are like joining your show, they may need to know how to, you know, set up a regular, you know, what apps work well for, you know, doing tasks. And I know you bounce back there every once in a while in your conversations with people you're interviewing, because you're are cognizant of that audience. And we always need to come back and go, okay, I don't want to always speak over some people's head who may be just, you know, downloading it for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely try to make that balance for sure.
And it's tough. And I think we get sidetracked and we want to be like cutting edge. And sometimes we forget about the people who are just joining us. One of our, and you and I had talked, one of our the guys that we enjoyed, who thought we did the best job, was Sean McCabe. And you actually had him on your show. And he has that new book called Overlap, which one, it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen.
Did you see the physical copy?
Yeah, he had it up on that table, and it was, I mean, it's just gorgeous. I mean, you can tell he spent time on it and really wanted it to be perfect. And so I'm like, and I'm a Kindle guy, I'm like, I'm ordering this one because I just want it in my hands. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, I'm like, I didn't steal it from him. I'm very excited because I mentioned this in last week's podcast, is I asked, you know, what's the balance between what we create and what we consume? And he asked that from the stage. He goes, what if you created as much as you consume? And you think about, even as creative professionals, how much we consume compared to what we create. And that just kind of was a good way to warm up the audience, I thought.
Yeah, well, and one of the other things is half the time we're busy with things, but it's management things. It's it's keeping things afloat. It's not building something. It's not creating. Yeah. So then in that 8+ hours of a day that we are working, and then we put that aside, hopefully, at least for a while, and in the evenings or in the mornings or wherever where we are doing this consuming, we are probably spending more time watching TV or even reading books. Like, here's the thing. He wasn't saying, like, stop doing this or that. Or like, he wasn't differentiating the consumption.
Right.
But what he was shifting us towards attention-wise was the fact that even if you're reading a bunch of books, which most people would agree is better than watching a bunch of television or playing a bunch of video games, that kind of the junk food consumption, he's saying instead of sitting and eating all the time, go outside metaphorically and create, you know?
And one of the things he shared a little bit about his story, and this is in that same vein, he goes, you know, it was really 2 years before anything happened. And I think we talk about our story and, you know, your podcast. It takes a while. It's showing up every day. And, you know, Brogan, it falls right into what he says, too, is like, you know, it was like 4 years before he was an overnight success. And I think people who are looking at those people and trying to compare themselves, you know, it's easy to do. One of my favorite quotes is by Acuff, and he says, don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle. And of course he spoke, and that was awesome to see him. But that is so true. And that has really helped me. It's like, I knew that when I started this podcast or show, or even getting in the space, that I couldn't compete with Jay Baer or a Michael Stelzner or any of that stuff. And I had to keep telling myself, it doesn't matter. Keep showing up every day. And I think that's for people who are getting started in visual marketing, who are getting started on Pinterest, or even wanting to start a podcast, it just doesn't happen overnight. And another quote that falls in that same vein that Sean said, he goes, you can't edit if you don't write. Mm-hmm. And so many people I know gripe about stuff, and we're in the space, so we see a lot of it, but then they're not doing anything. And you're like, well, you know, or they're being very sporadic or whatever. And so I think that if you can't edit if you don't write, that was really profound to me. I thought, wow, you know, showing up. I mean, and I want to get into some of your comments that you learned, Eric, because I know you have all this productivity stuff. But, you know, and Crystal Payne said, you know, why do we live like we are a slave to our inbox or calendar? And I wanted to talk what your thoughts are on how to avoid that, because we talk about this in your on the Mastermind. I know you talk about it in your podcast a lot, but what are some tips that you have learned to not be a slave and, you know, to be consistent? I mean, your podcast, it makes me jealous that you're out almost every week. I mean, I don't know if you've missed one.
That's
since we've done the Mastermind. So, I mean, you are very consistent on that.
So you're wrong. And, let me put it in perspective. I don't know what level Michael Hyatt is up to, but he's been consistent. He has had one every single week since he started, I believe in August of 2012, which was the same month I started. And he's up in the like 250 something range, and I'm almost hitting 200 right now. So he's got almost an extra year of podcasts in his back catalog, whereas in that same stretch of time of 5 years, a little over, I've got about 4 years of podcasts in there. Now, there were a couple of seasons where it was like, okay, I took off like 6 to 8 weeks on purpose one time or two times and then started back up again. There's been other times where it's been like, you know, I miss a week here or there. But the way that you grow your audience, and this has been shown, is you just literally show up over and, you know, you show up every week. That's what I mean. I know there's podcasts out there that have daily episodes, and that's fine. Maybe a different format, whatever. But for a weekly podcast, it's typically the best practices are once a week. At the exact same time and day is when you're supposed to release. And so I've had to really struggle and build in the processes to make that happen. And it's finally at that place. I don't think I've missed an episode since
it's been way a while.
Early this year. And even then it was because like I didn't have locked in like sponsors for some of those weeks. And I was like, well, I've got 2 weeks out of the month for January and February that I have sponsors for. So the other two I'm going to let slide. But I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted that to be consistent. So
how? What are your processes that you put in place to make that happen? Because I've struggled with that, and if people follow this podcast, I know that they. I've even had people email saying, "Hey, we would love to," and that made me feel good. That like if I skipped a week, somebody emailed me and they noticed. But so, what are your processes that make sure that happened? Because you even had an extra episode like last week.
That's true.
Bonus, and I'm like, geez, save it. Use it later.
No,
Michael Hyatt.
So I had no choice there because one, I had obligations to sponsors, and two, I had to get that bonus episode with Michael Hyatt out right when I dropped it because I wanted no calls to action in that other than for people to go check out his personal productivity assessment, which I was an affiliate for / his webinars / his course. And if people want to go check that out, you can. It's beyondthetodolist.com/free-to-focus,
which is very cool. And I'll say about the planner because
and the planner there too. So I just busted my butt. Like I just said, okay, you know what? Like this is an instance where the word hustle does apply. It's a short burst of rushing. It's a sprint. It's not a marathon. Now, the marathon is the long-term consistency, and that's what we're talking about in terms of creating systems to then create things consistently. And my systems have to do with doing a sit-down and kind of a batch process of thinking about who I want on, what topics I want to cover, and then try to do a chunk of emailing those people, go through my back catalog and say, who's been on before that I know will come back, that kind of a thing. And then on top of that, it's batch processing the recordings. So I've got a Calendly set up, Hypeg, and I've got a Calendly set up, and I've got only 1 to 3 times in a given week for a limited window where I can give that link out and people can then schedule. And the friction on scheduling dropped way down once I introduced that.
So do you have set times every day that you work on your podcast? Are set days of the week that you do that with? So you can be consistent.
So here's how that works. I actually batch process that out, that time out, to one or two Saturday mornings in a given week and or in a given month. And by doing that, by compartmentalizing that and saying, okay, I'm going to sit down with coffee at maybe six, not every Saturday, because I want to sleep in if I can, although my body doesn't let me.
Right.
Stupid body. Dang it. I will sit down with coffee and a laptop, and I will go in without thinking about it being work. That's a benefit right there. Is I was privileged to talk with this guest, and I get to listen back through it and learn again like an audiobook. And by doing that, I feel less like I'm working on a Saturday morning, even though it is that side hustle.
Right.
And I will knock those out.
I want people to know, understand that you have a full-time job.
Exactly.
As Social Media Examiner, as the social media manager. So the podcast is extra. It's not half and half. You get to, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And that's why I was really wanting to see your processes, because I think, and one of the things, you know, we listened to John Acuff this at the Tribe Conference, and he talked about focus and finish. You know, because, you know, his point, you know, he wrote a book even about starting. And then he's like, people are like, hey, I started, but I don't know how to finish. And so and he pointed out that there's no, you know, no one's cheering you on a marathon in the middle. It's always at the beginning and at the end. And one of the things that I took away from, I can't remember who said it, but these like, well, maybe it's Sean, where he says, write for 15 minutes a day.
Yeah,
start with these micro habits. And so I've been doing that and finding that it's been very, very helpful. You know, like I'm going to write for 15 minutes a day, or I'm going to work on this 15 minutes a day, or I'm going to prepare for a talk that I have coming up 15 minutes a day. Have you find those like micro habits work for you, or do you need more time?
They do when I have them in place. And that's the thing, is like what I really did was instead I worked backwards from, okay, what does it look like big picture? Well, I want to make Jeff C. jealous that I've got an episode out every week. Right. So then, okay, how do I make that happen? Well, I've got to have episodes recorded, and I have to edit them, and I have to know what to and align that with my sponsorship people that do that work for me. And so I worked from big picture down to smaller, and I was able to say, oh, well, then here's where I can fit that time in and sit down on those Saturday mornings. However, that's all podcasting. That has nothing to do with writing, you know, doing daily writing on a newsletter or working on other creative endeavors that fold into that entirety of that brand. So I'm starting to get those in place now. That is one of the biggest takeaways that I had. You were already doing more of this than I was going into this weekend. And I was taking a look at that and saying, okay, Sean McCabe has said it. John Acuff is talking about it. Like, it's that consistency. It's that not breaking of the chain. And they actually both have something unique to say about that when it comes to it. Sean is talking about that's how you build up that muscle. You go and you do it every day. John then, especially when he was on my show, he's talking about, well, we basically, when we we're doing that and we're trying not to break the chain, like that whole, it's a Seinfeld thing on the calendar. Where he's like, he X'd out a day that he wrote jokes, basically. There's a great new, by the way, I have to do this. There's a great new Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes. I saw that
comedy special / documentary on Netflix called Jerry Before Seinfeld. I watched it. It's great. He's sitting there. One of the snapshots that they show is he is sitting in a street, and they have lined the street with all of the papers of him, of the jokes that he writes every day. I'm just like, look at that. Look at the output that he's had. But I was getting back to John Acuff says, you know, what if you do break the chain? Do you then just suddenly stop?
Right.
Because it's become imperfect. No, you just start again. You get back up. It's the whole Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You know, why do we fall, Master Bruce?
One of the things too, and you and I both use it, and we actually take a screenshot of it and put it onto our Mastermind channel to, you know, have accountability. But we use the Streaks app where you can have like five things. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, like I broke like my diet streak when I went to the Tribe conference. And so But the thing is, I know how many, how the streak was like, you know, I don't know, 120 days or whatever it was. Well, I can try to beat that streak next time. So I mean, I'm not beating myself. I'm like, I'm not using that app anymore. It's, I'm, you know, okay, I'm gonna see if I can do better next time. And so some of my streaks are still going, but I know that one I need to start over. But I think that consistency is key.
Well, that was part of the reason we went, was to go eat all that crazy food.
And, yeah, we're so hungry for pizza.
You know, yeah. But I have, because of what we did beforehand, after that weekend and into this week now, I have been eating much healthier again.
Yeah. Get back on the train. We had our little break, and now it's time to start again. I want to pull this up because Mike said, he goes, my Saturday afternoons are exactly the same. I love having that time to spend writing. I think one of the reasons, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, that Saturday is time you don't have the pressure of your normal job.
Right.
And you can do this, and it's creative, and it's almost something you look forward to, like Mike was saying. I mean, and he's a prolific writer, and his stuff is, he publishes all the time on his blog. And I think maybe that's could be part of the key is, and oh, that is one thing that Acuff said, was treat these goals like, make them fun. They work when they're fun. And I think your Saturday and Mike's Saturday is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. I mean, because I'll even go to a coffee shop and sit in their front porch area that's enclosed and has sun coming in. So it's nice and like warm and cozy and got my mug of coffee and sit and kind of listen and edit.
Right. One of the things, and I think Sean talked about this in your podcast, but he talked about chaining habits. And that's kind of like you think of chain smoking. So what exactly is chaining habits?
See, this, I thought that what he was doing with this was he was talking about it like that don't break the chain thing.
Right.
But there's more to it than that, I guess. I think it has to do with basically it's almost like the domino effect.
Right.
In a sense, where each time you do it, you've gained another day of momentum.
Right. And if you, and looks like John said, if you stop, it's okay. You just, you know, you don't like, You're still coasting. You haven't put on brakes. Now, if you continue not to do that habit, then eventually you'll stop. But don't freak out. You can coast, you know, one day and then get back on and start hitting it hard again. And so,
well, there was that other woman. I forget her name, but she was a fiction writer, and she was she was on stage being interviewed by Jeff Goins, and she said something about, I mean, she was working with him. He was her coach, all that kind of stuff. And she said her goal that she always hit was, because this got her through the I don't really feel like doing it, is she had to write for the day. All she had to do was write 10 minutes. She could easily do, because it was easier to go do that than to procrastinate. It was easier to go do that 10 minutes of writing than to procrastinate it. And often she'd end up doing more than that 10 minutes, but other times she was allowed to quit at that 10 minutes because she just didn't have anything to say that day. But either way, she showed up. And that was the kind of stuff that really impressed me, was just the, dang it, I got to show up. I got to figure out what showing up every day means, not just in my art, but just in life in general.
Right. And that whole thing about, you know, it's almost more work not to do it than do it. Like that's because I've done that with walking. So like I, you know, every day I try to get up and go walk. And if it's not, then I go walk with Jody later on. And so it's almost, if I lay there and just not do it, then it's almost like, gosh, and I do that a lot. Dang it, I got to go because I got to report to Eric and Anthony that, you know, whatever. That transitions into something else that I want to talk about. And I think we hear it, and it's kind of a new term to me. Maybe I just haven't been following it very, very much, but Hyatt really talks about it. And I know you have been talking about it in your show, and it's about creating margin. You know, creating margin in your life. And what does that mean? We in the social media thing, we hear hustle, hustle, hashtag no sleep, you know, kill it, you know. And some of these people are now going, hey, we need margin, not more hustle. What are your thoughts on that? When you hear creating margin in your life, what does that mean?
Well, basically what it comes down to is having space. I mean, if you think about it, what literally that word means, the word margin, it's that space in between different things. And so depending upon what those things are, it can be work, it can be family, it can be different work things, whatever. So when it comes down to it, it's essentially not bumping stuff up right against each other Right. You know, it's not always a good thing to do that. Like, yeah, I know we want to fit all these things in, but having that space in between them makes it so that you can actually have a sense of sanity and that you're not just moving from task to task to task. Right. I mentioned earlier the productivity assessment from Michael Hyatt and what it said about my weekends. And that's ironic to me because he's incredibly protective of his weekends. In fact, I wanted to actually say hi to him. Didn't get the chance to talk at all face to face with him because it was the weekend and he was out of town. He had gone out of town on purpose because it was his weekend and he was re-energizing. So,
yeah. And that's what one thing I love about his full focus planner is that has like a weekend optimizer. And it actually says, do you want to take naps? Check this off. If you want to, you know, how many hours do you want to rest? I mean, it really,
yeah.
And it's been great for me because I'm like being actually active on my rest is huge. And I think, you know, the whole seventh day of rest thing, there's a reason that works. And we try to cram too much in there. So, because I think with as creatives, you know, there's always another podcast to schedule. There's always another graphic to create. You know, how to turn it off is the big thing for me. And one of the other guys you interviewed, the guy who did Cal Newport, where he did deep work, he has a shutdown sequence that he you know, he even says to himself what he's done. He goes, shutdown sequence complete. And he leaves. And that's a little trigger. Kind of Star Trek-y, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I'm totally into that. This the margin thing connects to the consumption thing Sean McCabe was talking about.
Right.
Because, and I've had a ton of people on recently, like this has been one of the things that's really been spinning in my head is this whole idea of margin / restoration and relaxation so that you can not only so that you can do your best work because you have the mental bandwidth and physical endurance to do so, but also so that you actually enjoy life and can focus on what's most important to you. Right. Because we will lose sight of that macro level in our lives on down to the micro level if we are just always in a constant state of motion.
Right. One of my friends always says, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You know, and it's like, it's true. We can't take it with us. And there's a bluegrass song I listen to right now. It says, I can't add more life to my days, but I can add more days. No, I can't add more days to my life. I can add more life to my days.
Yes.
And so I thought that was very cool. And I know that, you know, there as creatives, we do struggle with that. But I found, and we and I've talked about that, is, you know, the carving thing, something away from screens where I can relax for 20 minutes, even listen to a podcast, makes me more creative. It's like, it sounds weird, but the more rest you get and the more rejuvenation during that time, the more creative you are when you have to be, you know, productive or whatever. So,
yep.
Lastly, I want to just ask you a question. You know, I know we're talking about habits and, you know, creating new ones and all of that, but are there some habits that you have found that when, you know, when you start doing them, they actually kill productivity? I mean, I'm not talking like chain smoking or something like that, but
well, that will,
I'm wondering, yeah, that's bad. But I'm talking about like, if, you know, we get so focused on productivity, we don't see the trees, like, you know, and you and I both have talked about our struggle with this, like there's a new productivity tool, I'm going to test it. And, you know, and then we have like 50 productivity tools and we're spending all our time with the tool and not actually using it the way it's supposed to be. So, what are your thoughts on that? Like killing productivity with that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, and you and I are both strong proponents of this. It goes back to the rest thing. When you are lacking sleep, so if you have a bad habit of either staying up really late or getting up way too early or both, and you're not using that time productively and you're watching, you know, you're consuming instead of creating. But right. Even if you are creating, like even if you are creating and you're not getting enough sleep, then during your day, you're effectively drunk because you can't make good decisions.
Not drunk in a good way either.
Yeah. In a bad way. Like you are slap happy. Maybe you're, you know, you're going to eat crap you shouldn't. You're going to not be able to make decisions quickly, let alone well, and you're going to make bad ones. And that's where you end up going down the Facebook rabbit trail or the social media time suck because you don't realize you're doing it. You're just kind of autopiloting.
Right.
And so it's that default mode of kind of slowing down and doing nothing productively throughout your day that can be the, I mean, that's the biggest sabotage for me. luckily I'm getting way more sleep and better sleep now, although there was a speed bump I just hit a couple weeks ago, but I'm kind of over it now, finally. But yeah, I was, you and I loved taking naps. So
yeah, in fact, you have our permission today to leave whatever you're doing and go take a nap, because
there you go.
I am going to take one anyway.
Hopefully you didn't take one while we were talking.
That's right. Hopefully our voices were soothing, but not making you sleep. As Eric, appreciate you being here. As always, I want you guys to go check out his podcast. It is an incredible podcast. It is one of, and I don't say this because there's so many great ones out there, but Eric's is one that is on my phone. It automatically downloads. Go listen to it. There's a takeaway from every single episode that he does. Very, very, very well done. He's helped me a lot with my podcast, but go check him out at beyondthetodolist.com, correct?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
As always, I'd love for you guys to come go check out the new mastermind that Eric Witt and I are putting on. I only have 10 slots left. Anthony. What did I say? Eric Witt?
Yes.
That Anthony and I are putting on. You can go to manlypinterestips.com/mastermind to check it out. As always, thank you for being here and for joining us on Manly Pinterest Tips, where we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.